Let's get him in here. Doug, how are you?
Bill, I think I'm doing a little bit better than you are tonight.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the program with us tonight. You can hear that even the newsmaker line we have this evening has got a little scratchy quality to it. But we did want to have you on because it is the end of the year and it is the end of the millennium, more to the point. And everybody has lists, right?
Absolutely. And I was reading Time Magazine's choice of person of the century, Albert Einstein, which has created some controversy. And I know anytime you do these lists, Phil, it creates controversy, and you never have two people agreeing on any one thing when it comes to which was the best movie, who was the greatest actor. So I took a shot at it, and I think our list is honest. I think it's fair. I think my look at the best films of the last millennium are films that I think people will look at, and if they give it a good, honest look, and I'll tell you, because of the fact that since I came out of the closet a couple of years ago, Phil, and admitted my homosexuality to not only my colleagues in the entertainment critic business, but also to my reading public, I think that I've learned what honesty can do. And as a gay man and also as a gay journalist, I have always valued standing up and being counted, and even if you're going against the flow, to be as honest as you possibly can.
So you're not looking to be a part of the crowd, you're looking to be away from the crowd?
No, you're not even looking to be away from the crowd. As a gay man, as a gay journalist, what I'm trying to do is just be honest, and I think that we've come up with a very honest list.
All right, these are the top 10 films of the last millennium, as picked by Doug Dyer. Go.
All right, Phil, again, these are very unusual, but I think all of these films represent a different level of filmmaking and a different level of creating in film. And you can talk about a lot of movies from the standpoint of technical excellence, performance, direction, story. I think all of these movies have it all, technical excellence, story, special effects, what have you. And for me, these are the top 10 movies of the last millennium here from Doug Dyer with the Orange County Courier, and I'm going to be publishing these tomorrow as well, Phil, in my column.
All right, so if you missed this tonight, look in the Orange County Courier tomorrow for Doug Dyer's column.
Number 10. Okay, Phil, I think the number 10 greatest film of the last millennium was Lion King, and I'll tell you why.
Interesting.
I really do. I think it was a wonderful combination of animation, drama, story, a good story, a viable story about environment, and a story about family. I thought it had great performances from Jeremy Irons, from James Earl Jones, terrific performances from Whoopi Goldberg, Cheech Marin, Matthew Broderick. It was very original. I think Lion King is definitely number 10 on my list of the top 10 movies of the last millennium.
Okay, and number 9.
All right, Phil, number 9 is definitely 101 Dalmatians. Let me tell you why. 101 Dalmatians starring Glenn Close is a recreation. I'm talking about the live-action drama, a recreation of the animated film from the late 1950s. Glenn Close stars as the Cruella de Vil. It was a film that was taken from the very childlike areas of animation and moved into a mainstream, powerful portrayal of good versus evil, of wealth versus the have-not, class struggle. And I think it's probably one of Ms. Close's greatest performances because it was a wonderful portrayal of Cruella de Vil. It was very cartoony, obviously, but I think she did a great job. 101 Dalmatians.
But I mean the ninth greatest movie of the last millennium.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I got no problems with that.
All right, that was number 9. So number 10, The Lion King. Number 9, 101 Dalmatians. And here is number 8.
Number 8 greatest film of the last 1,000 years, Old Yeller. I think everybody remembers this tale as a film that...
Old Yeller, now... All right.
Yes, what?
Okay. So far what we have here are films that I think are probably a little unorthodox.
Well, I think they're unorthodox. But let me just tell you, Old Yeller is a film that is tear-jerking. It's a film that was a movie that I think and everybody... It pulled everybody's heartstrings. It was about loyalty. And it was an environmental film because it was a film, again, about an animal and man's loyalty to an animal. I think it's unusual. I think you have to look at the unusual nature of these films. So number 10, Lion King. Number 1, 101 Dalmatians. And number 8, Old Yeller.
All right, let's go to number 7.
7, Mary Poppins. Now, I think that...
Okay, hold on for just a second, because you've named off now 1, 2, 3, 4. All of these films are Disney...
Can I finish? Or are you going to start to critique...
I'm sorry, you're right.
Okay. When we get done, we could probably get into this, Phil, but I'd like to finish out.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Number 7 is Mary Poppins, a terrific fantasy, a fantasy starring Julie Andrews, Dick Van Dyke. I think this was a wonderful showcase for the very underrated talents of Dick Van Dyke, who is a physical actor in a comedic sense, and Julie Andrews did it. Good job bringing that fantasy to life. Again, a very unusual movie, and the reason why I think it's the 7th greatest film of the last millennium is because you find a sort of childlike innocence that you don't find in most of these movies today. You know, nowadays you don't get this, but that was great. So, number 7, Mary Poppins.
Okay, number 7. So number 10, The Lion King. Number 9, 101 Dalmatians. Number 8, Old Yeller. Number 7, Mary Poppins. Here is number 6.
Number 6 is Snow White.
And I knew it.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
All right. Because what we want to do here, Phil, is that...
You're absolutely right. I made a comment. I made an editorial comment. I said I knew it because everything here is a Disney movie, and I think that...
Well, Phil, let me just finish out. Snow White. Snow White, you know, your comments are interesting, but I... Oh, boy, I'm a film critic, and I'd like to do what I'm doing. Snow White.
You're absolutely right.
Snow White, I think, is the 6th greatest film of the last millennium because it was the first great animated feature. You can't argue with this film in terms of the fantasy, in terms of the warmth, in terms of the theme, the quality of the animation, the milestone effort that was put into this by Walt Disney. I think Snow White, definitely the 6th greatest film of the last 1,000 years.
Number 5.
Flubber. Here is a movie that...
Oh, man.
I'm sorry?
Lesson.
Here is a movie that brought science fiction on a collision course with comedy. And I think it was a good film because Flubber showed up Fred McMurray's talents as a comedic actor long before My Three Sons.
And now, this is the sequel to Absent-Minded Professor.
That's right, it is. Absent-Minded Professor was the first Flubber movie. But Flubber, or Son of Flubber, was the second Flubber movie, and I think it brought the idea into sharper focus, what they were going for comedy-wise. And I think it's just a wonderful film. So, number 5 movie is Flubber.
Number 4.
Number 4 is Tron, and that's a good film. It's a good animation film, and it's a great film, a commentary on the computers and everything.
All right, we're running out of time here. What other, you have any other Disney movies that you...
Phil, you know something? I wish you'd allow me...
No, because it's very obvious to me. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Disney movies. I can only imagine that the next 3 movies are going to be Disney movies.
If you'd let me finish...
I bet you the next 3...
If you'd let me finish, then you'll see what the next 3 movies are going to be.
Okay, here we go. Number 3.
Okay, Bed Knobs and Broomsticks.
There you go. A Disney movie.
The first thing I want to say is Bed Knobs and Broomsticks, again, brings the idea of fantasy on a collision course with reality to a sharper focus, much better than Mary Poppins. That's why I like that movie. Okay?
Okay, great. And here comes number 2.
Number 2, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Great Jules Verne, a vehicle brought to life by Disney. A tremendous, tremendous effort.
All right, very quickly, number 1.
Okay, number 1. The Shaggy D.A., starring Dean Jones. Let me just say a couple of things here. First of all, I think these are all legitimate films.
You think they're all legitimate films. The number 10 movie, you got Lion King, 101 Dalmatians, Old Yeller, Mary Poppins, Snow White, Flubber, Tron, Bedknobs and Broomsticks, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, and then you said The Shaggy D.A. is the greatest film made of the last 100 years, starring Dean Jones.
I think that is very underrated.
Dean Jones.
Absolutely. I think Dean Jones, one of the most underrated actors of the last, in the history of the film business. I think he is very, very underrated. I think he is very, very undervalued. I think he gives 100% commitment with every one of his performances. I think he has been a quality, quality performer in all of his films. And if we had more actors like Dean Jones, we'd have, I think, far more wonderfully vibrant, wonderfully emotive and compelling films to watch. I really do.
Dean Jones.
Oh, yeah. And let me ask you a question. Why don't you like Dean Jones?
I didn't say that I didn't like Dean Jones. I didn't say that I didn't like him at all. I think that for these films, he was great. I never saw him do anything other than the shit. What, did he ever do anything dramatic?
He did many things dramatic. He was in the movie, he was in like a horror movie or something.
But what did he do that was dramatic? I saw him do Shaggy D.A. I saw him do Herbie the Love Bug.
A great performance. And I know it's a comedy. I know it's about Disney, but it's a great performance.
Well, what did he do that was dramatic?
He did it like in a horror movie or something. He did that really good horror movie. I can't remember the name of it right now. But it was a great horror movie. I think it was The Fly or something.
I don't recall him doing anything dramatic. All right, let me go to Concord, North Carolina. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment about this. I don't know why this guy's hung up on Disney movies when there's been so many great movies that have been released over the past millennium. I mean, there's, like, at least talking about good versus evil and ideas like that. I mean, there's movies like Clockwork Orange where, you know, Malcolm McDowell made a portrayal of evil and it's like true in true form. And I mean, and that right there to me says more to me than, you know, Cruella de Vil and, you know, 1001 Dalmatians ever would. I mean, you
well,
know,
true.
Other
I think
like
however,
1001 Space Odyssey.
However, if you're going to look at, yeah. Clockwork Orange does deal with good and evil, but I think 101 Dalmatians does it in a less preachy way. I think Kubrick preached too much in that movie. I think 101 Dalmatians gives you a little bit of fun. Okay.
I think 101 Dalmatians.
Are you saying that 101 Dalmatians is a superior movie to Clockwork Orange?
Yes, I am.
You're kidding.
There's no way. I mean, if you're talking about kids' movies, I can understand.
Now, no,
if kids
I'm talking
would be
about
more able to watch 1001 Dalmatians than he would be able to watch Clockwork Orange. But, you know, Clockwork Orange, I mean, that's truly what people are, that's like a true representation of, like, evil. I mean,
I wouldn't say that. I think 101 Dalmatians, I think Clockwork Orange is just every bit as fantastic as 101 Dalmatians. I mean, that's a futuristic society that we're talking about there. Okay? We're not talking about, you know, the Shaggy D.A. Let's take that. That's a comedy. Okay?
Which you say is the greatest movie in the history of films.
I do. Because I think Dean Jones is very undervalued, very underrated. Have you seen Dean Jones's film?
Yes, I've seen it. I mean, you know, when I was maybe 12 years old, I may have appreciated his work, but I just don't see it as a comparing that against, like, I mean, you've got people like Malcolm McDowell that can portray, like, a character that well and be able to have a true representation of what, of how a person really acts. I mean, Cruella de Vil was like a comedic character. That's a comedic version of what evil is.
Well, that's right.
I mean, that's not a good representation of, like, that's not a good, like, you know, dramatic representation of evil. As, you know, if you're trying to look at a film that's going to tell you more about how people really are,
right,
you're not going to watch 1001 Dalmatians, because, I mean, people don't act like that in real life.
Well, I don't think a comedic representation of evil is any less valid than an overwrought dramatic, which I think was very overwrought what Kubrick did there. I love the purity of 101 Dalmatians and its statement on evil. It's more pure. I think the Glenn Close was more dead on, I think.
Pure? I mean, you're talking about a kid's table, a fable, as this guy was saying.
By being comedic, evil, it's more acceptable to the masses. It's more
if you're trying to understand the nature of the human spirit, I mean, I spent a lot of time in college studying philosophy and religion. And whenever you're trying to understand why it is people do the things they do, if you're looking at the example of Cruella de Vil instead of, like, a real example of, you know, somebody that can really portray, like, a really, you know, for example, I mean, why would you totally overlook, like, great actors, like, I mean, you're talking about...
Like who? See, you're having a hard time...
things that were just...
You're having a hard time thinking of them. Name me a better actor than Dean Jones. Go ahead. Quick.
Malcolm McDowell.
I think that's a stretch.
Blow Dean Jones right off the screen.
Wait a minute, you're saying Malcolm McDowell and Dean Jones.
Something that well and that and that, you know, entirely.
Okay, you're saying Malcolm McDowell, like Caligula was that good? Not, you know, big embarrassment for his career.
Call Herbie the Love Bug?
I would say this. Some pretty big embarrassments.
Wait a second.
Not even showed up since then.
Wait a second. As a pure statement, Herbie the Love Bug is superior to Caligula. And I'll tell you why. Because Caligula was a debacle. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows it was a piece of crap. Herbie the Love Bug, pure, on the mark. They got what they wanted scene for scene. Got what they wanted out of the script scene for scene.
So Herbie the Love Bug is superior to Caligula.
Absolutely.
Well, let me ask you this question, sir. When somebody sits down and they watch Herbie Love Bug, what do they learn when they come out of that?
I think they're getting a backdoor look at evil. Pure evil, yeah.
Who's evil in that movie? I'm sorry.
Well, there is good and bad in every film. You're looking at a tension between good and bad. The opposing race car drivers, I mean, you look at the kids' point of view, the opposing race car drivers were trying to sabotage Herbie the Love Bug. So you're looking at pure evil.
Pure evil in Herbie the Love Bug.
That's right. And you guys need to broaden, I think, your view, and I think you need to broaden your ability to see these things, Phil.
Well, I'm not saying that Dean Jones is a lousy actor. What I'm saying is the vehicles that he chose as an actor are anything but outstanding examples of writing and storytelling. That's all. I mean, you're just not going to get me to believe that Herbie the Love Bug is a superior concept to Caligula.
I'm not saying the concept. I'm saying the execution. Herbie the Love Bug kicks ass on Caligula.
All right, here's West L.A. on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yes, I wanted to ask this gentleman if he thinks that the Shaggy D.A. is the best film in all of the millennium, then in his argument, then of course Dean Jones far surpasses Laurence Olivier, Katharine Hepburn, Lionel Barrymore. So Dean Jones is the epitome of all of the great actors of the last millennium. Is that
the
correct?
The only way you can tell a great actor is how well he wraps himself in the character that he's playing. Dean Jones, pound for pound, movie for movie, committed more to his characters than Laurence Olivier did to his, yes.
Oh, come on.
Are you on crack tonight?
No, ma'am. If you think about it, and you use my definition of what great acting is, I think you'd agree.
Dean Jones played the most surface characters in Disney comedies, which were fine for what they were, but Laurence Olivier, Jimmy Stewart, surpasses It's a Wonderful Life.
There's a good thing. Jimmy Stewart and Dean Jones, what's the difference there? Really, seriously.
Jimmy Stewart can play a variety of characters, a chameleon-like actor.
Chameleon-like? I don't know the difference between the character he played in It's a Wonderful Life and Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. What's the difference between those two characters? Kind of talk, the same halting kind of speech, the same old gee scratching the back of the head thing. What are you talking about?
Well, those two films, those two roles happen to be similar, but Jimmy Stewart is...
All right, how about Jimmy Stewart in Spirit of St. Louis versus It's a Wonderful Life? Same guy.
What about Laurence Olivier in Wuthering Heights and all of the roles that he played throughout the years? Katharine Hepburn, who happens to be my favorite. So therefore, in your mind, Dean Jones, Citizen Kane as an example, so Shaggy D.A. would be far surpassed Citizen Kane, correct?
I'm saying...
Correct?
Citizen Kane.
Yes, Citizen Kane, correct? So
That was Orson Welles.
So what?
I thought we were talking about actors.
Well, let's get to movies. The lady's bringing up Citizen Kane.
That was the whole topic. Phil was asking you, what are the best films of the millennium? You said Shaggy D.A.
So you're giving up on Jimmy Stewart. That's encouraging. I'm glad to see that. Okay. Number two. All right, let's talk about Citizen Kane.
All right.
Do you know that movie is probably the most overrated film ever?
But we're talking about in comparison to Shaggy D.A.
I think that Citizen Kane, I walked out of Citizen Kane bewildered.
That's
I didn't know what
you're
I just seen.
That's because
well,
you're a simpleton.
Okay. I'm a simpleton, huh?
Yes.
Calling me names.
It's clear that you're
calling
a simpleton.
Calling me names.
So, of course, Citizen Kane would be so far above you that you couldn't possibly decipher.
What was it about? Go ahead. Tell me what was Citizen Kane about.
And let me just...
What was it about. Tell everybody what Citizen Kane was about.
I'm not saying that I'm...
Yeah, you don't even know what that movie was about. I can tell you what Shaggy D.A. was about, and to me, that's the essence of a film. How well does it communicate its story to the viewer? I'm not some highbrow. I'm not some intellectual, okay? I'm talking about relating to the audience.
That you are coming on as some connoisseur of cinema.
I'm coming on as a real critic, as a gay man and as a gay journalist, a honest critic, and telling you honestly...
Then why haven't you chosen a gay film? You don't even have one gay film on your list.